Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Monday, December 19th, countdown to Christmas 2022. Yes, I know it's not Jesus Christ's actual birthday. I know it's rooted in paganism. I know about Saturnalia. I know all about that. But again, Merry Christmas. Got a couple of announcements initially. Of course, as you know, we have been absolutely deplatformed from Patreon. So in case you missed last week or were living under a rock, didn't hear the program, which I understand. Look, everyone's busy. To the Patreon members, hang in there. We're working on something, and I guarantee you, Eric the Tech is a gazillion times better than any Muppet Silicon Valley basement dwelling dweeb out there. And speaking of Eric the Tech, how are you? How was your weekend?
It was good.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. You like the snow out there? We have snow. Anyway. But when you expect, it's December. And as I get older, I don't like the snow. Okay. A lot of information to get into. And we're going to be taking things in a little bit different direction. This weekend was an interesting weekend. I was in contact with a number of people. I'm not into, as you know, I am not into hopium at all. At all. No hopium. However, I think from what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, I think we need to adjust our sights a little bit, because I do believe, in spite of a lot of perception to the contrary, I think that we can win this war against the globalists. All right. Now, I think they are on the run. I think they are scared witless. I think that they are afraid of us, you and I, which is why they are behaving badly. And as I thought about this, and this was very difficult for me, I'm telling you, this is very difficult for me to believe, to consider, to think, wait a second, have I been looking at this a little bit off kilter? And I think maybe some adjustment of our sets might be required, okay? And when I say our sets, metaphorically speaking, of course, or talking about our television sets, but I think it might be required. And here's why. And I was trying to equate this to something modern pop culture kind of thing. Well, not so modern anymore, I guess. And no, it's not a Christmas movie. It came out at Christmas. But there was remember Die Hard back in 1987, 1988? Remember that movie Die Hard? Bruce Willis in Die Hard. Hans Gruber, who, by the way, not the character, but the actual actor, passed away some time ago. You remember that scene? There was a specific scene in the movie when Bruce Willis, acting as Officer John McClane, posed a question to Hans Gruber. Now, let me refresh your memory by this clip here from Die Hard. It's just about 10, 15 seconds. I don't know. But I want to set the stage with this, and I think you'll see where I'm headed. Go ahead and play it.
Why'd you have to nuke the whole building, Hans?
Well, when you steal $600, you can't just disappear. When you steal $600 million, they will find you unless...
Unless they think you're dead, which that doesn't apply here. Think about that for a second. The bigger the crime, the more people are going to be looking at you and coming after you. So think about this in terms of the slab jabs, for example. Let's just say that more and more people are waking up. And folks, I want to ask you a question. Feel free to comment on our channels at Rumble and Brighteon. We also have audio channels as well. But feel free to comment on this as well. But we are seeing some amazing things happen. Now, as you know, or as you have, might have heard me in the past say this, there are three types of people in the world. People that make things happen, people that watch things happen, and people that walk around wondering what happened. Kind of like the Biden voter. There are three types of Biden voters: the dead, the brain dead, and the brainwashed. Okay, I'm going to cover interlocking subjects. One about the slab jabs and about the bioweapon known as SARS-CoV-2 and the somewhat of a larger, larger view on that. And then I want to cover the reaction. Now, I know this, okay, from my experience as an investigator, when I'm sitting across the table from someone, I like to see people that I know have done something naughty, bad, criminal, as a matter of fact. I like to see them squirm. I'd like to watch the process that they go through. And again, I was thinking about this in the exact same framework of John McClane. He knew the answer to that question essentially when he saw the bearer bonds and such and knew, you know, what was going on. But the question was, why'd you have to nuke the whole building? Well, you know, when you steal $600, they could let it go, but when you steal $600 billion or whatever it was, they will find you. Now, put in place of they with we the people, and consider Hans Gruber, the central casting member of all of the villains, like Klaus Schwab, WEF, members of the Party of Davos, the CCP, all of that, all of those people, Bill Gates, Fauci, and even some of the neocon and libtard politicians, okay? So think about this. There is coming a time, and it's coming rapidly, when the truth will be shown, when the truth will become undeniable to even the most obtuse out there, to even the most blinded out there, and even some of the most brainwashed. Now, some are never going to get it, and you're never going to be able to teach them. So, you know, just set those people aside. There's nothing you can do, not a problem. But people are starting to wake up. And maybe we've got this accidental, no, it wasn't an accident, this release from a laboratory in Wuhan, but brewed in part and certainly funded by the United States, by the UK. some in Canada. And it was released. And that changed everything, didn't it? Consider, oh, I don't know, consider 2018, how things were going. And then consider today, compare and contrast the two time periods. A big difference, right? Now, as we go down the road, and if we look at time as something linear, which I don't believe necessarily it is, but let's just progress. What are we seeing? We're seeing people starting to question things. We're seeing people starting to say, wait a second, this isn't right. Again, even some people, you know, I was talking to someone this morning who I have a lot of respect for, a medical doctor, who said people who didn't before are now questioning the jabs, the slab jabs. And I have to say this, that's a big move, depending upon who is doing the questioning. If a year ago that same person would say, what's wrong with you? You got a problem? Now saying, well, wait a second, you know what? There is a problem. That's a big move. So again, you've got this fraud perpetuated upon humanity, all of humanity, by a tiny minority group of psychopaths, like Hans Gruber. And when you do that, when you are perpetrating that kind of a crime against humanity, where you're not just stealing, taking stuff, but you're killing off people and taking their stuff, taking their land, ruining their careers, what are they going to do? They're going to nuke the place, basically. That's what they're going to at least try to anyway, to cover their tracks. Because they don't want us coming after them. And that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to put a page up on your screen. This is from PJ Media. And I found this rather interesting. And this goes to what I've been, this goes to what I'm saying right now. And the article is written by David Solway. Now, this gentleman, I believe, is from Canada. From Canada. And this was published today at PJ Media. And the title is Watching Football, Something Weird is Going On. Now, I'll save the pleasantries. I'll just forget about the pleasantries right now. But as you read the article, he writes that he's now a fan of U.S. football, and he's been watching football regularly. And the meat of this article gets to the point about the fourth paragraph, where he writes, recently, we have grown alarmed at the high volume of injuries among the teams, rosters increasingly decimated, offensive and defensive lines spackled with substitutes, cornerbacks going down like proverbial nine pins, and outcomes determined to a large extent by who remained on the field. In a recent game between New England Patriots and Arizona Cardinals, five players were assisted off the field before the first quarter was half done. Okay. Now, you may say, well, so what? It happens all the time. But he goes further because he digs further. He just doesn't take it at face value. He writes, something was going on, but what? And you can read this, but he cites something by the National Library of Medicine, which concluded that the rate of injury in NFL players during weeks 1 to 4 of the 2020 to 2021 regular seasons was significantly higher than during the three. I can't read my copy, which has ink all over it. Three recent past NFL preseasons, regular seasons. Yeah. So in other words, you're seeing this, and thank you, Eric the Tech, I appreciate that. So what we're seeing here is something that we haven't seen before. Now, could this just be an outlier? Sure, it could. It could. But then he writes a little bit more, and he gets into sudden adult death syndrome, which all of you are familiar with. People just popping off in record numbers with no prior warning because of things like heart attacks and strokes, brain clots, and cancer. And he writes to this, no one in authority, not even families who have lost loved ones will mention this unprecedented medical anomaly, which is certainly not the result of COVID-19. The 19 is long past. Now, some people will say long COVID. All right, whatever. Autopsies have plainly shown that the vaccines are implicated, as does the timeline. Yet, omerta prevails. Now, again, you have to be brainwashed or brain dead in order not to see this, or to say, look, the causation correlation factor is being bastardized here. Because he backs it up with facts. Slate magazine reports recent data from Germany based on insurance tables show that unexpected deaths have been skyrocketing since the end of 2020, jumping from about 6,000 per quarter to 14,000 currently. That's over half, in case you need the help on the math. Same thing with the Australian Bureau of Statistics. 13% rise in death rates during 2022. Now, I even believe those numbers are a little bit pretty low. Now, a recent article in the Epoch Times compiles a large number of studies and clinical investigations dealing with the adverse effects of the vaccines. Now, we know this, right? You and I know this. We have been, look, we've been screaming this from the rooftops. You and I know this. So, Doug, shut up. Why are you telling me this? We know it. Well, okay. We do, but others don't. Or others are just beginning to see the light. According to direct evidence published by medical pathologists at Heidelberg University Hospital, mRNA vaccines cause myocarditis via fibrillation or ventricular tachycardia. Vaccinated patients suffer from autoimmune attacks on their own heart cells, and I would add other cells as well. And citing findings published November 27, 22, the histological phenotype of lethal vaccinations associated with myocarditis, so on and so forth. Okay, again, this is something that you and I knew, but now the very people who have embraced this are not coming out and saying, okay, this isn't good. Governor Ron DeSantis, by the way, is now threatening to hold these manufacturers accountable for the mRNA vaccine. One example. I'll tell you what, this will open the floodgates. This is why I'm saying, and again, I go back to that opening line or that opening clip. Why'd you have to nuke the place, Hans? Well, you know what? When you commit a crime of this magnitude, and I'm making this up, of course, when you commit a crime of this magnitude, you know, people are going to be looking for you, right? So, and again, he gets into more studies. And he closes with this: one can only hope that more and more people, as well as corporations and leagues, will realize that it's the height of folly to continue taking a significantly untested genomic substance into one's body. Well, yeah, we've established that. One can only hope that more than that happens. Now, do I suggest we go John McClane on everyone? Well, hey, it depends on how things work out, right? He found himself in this situation in this movie, of course, I'm talking about, and he acted accordingly. But we've had enough of this silent and often denied mystery of ordinary people. Even the guy who was responsible for the slab jabs in Canada, 35 years old, dies. Just up and dies. No reason given. He just dies. And no one is asking any questions. No one's saying, wait a second. Why? What did he die from? You know, people just die. I mean, even before the COVID vaccine, people died at 35. Yeah, they did. But at these numbers? All right. I think I made my point on that, and that's a good article. And go to HagmanReport.com in the program description box, and you can find this. Now, okay, and if you think I drew that out, yeah, I did. You know why? Because there are people coming to this platform saying, you know what, I didn't know that, or I didn't know this, or whatever. And we are waking the masses. And I do believe that is the game changer. Because as I was thinking this weekend as well, if we weren't making a difference, I mean, they could tell me all day long that they canceled this platform for our encouragement of criminal activity on January 6th, okay? They can tell me that all day long. But is that the truth? I mean, if it is, okay, fine. I mean, if that's their truth. But, all right. I'm going to show you this just to substantiate that article. This is a video. This is video C1 in the show notes. Myocarditis is now running at 25,000 per million. And we're still relatively in the early days. So if we can grab that, this is just over a minute. And this is Dr. Peter McCullough.
In a paper by Arolia and colleagues from Finland, published in one of the best cardiology journals before COVID, established a rate. It's very important. They studied everybody in the entire country, and they had very solid case identification. 4 cases per million is the background rate of myocarditis before COVID. Yeah. And the numbers, the very first number the CDC came out with, and the CDC was dividing safety events by the total number of people who took the vaccine, assuming other people didn't get it. That is a flawed statistical approach. But even doing that, the first CDC estimate was 62 cases per million. And then it rapidly escalated. Tracy Hogue at UC Davis, different data analysis, 250 cases per million. Scharf at Kaiser Permanente found 527 cases per million. And now the two prospective cohort studies, Masugian and colleagues, and Lepesic and colleagues, 2 separate papers, when they finally do all the measurements before and then after vaccination, Masugian was on the second shot of Pfizer in children aged 13 to 18. Lepesic was in healthcare workers on the third shot of messenger RNA vaccines. They find together, that point estimate now, 25,000 cases per million.
Now, if you think, well, that's really not a lot relative, right? The H1N1 shots in 76, they had 50 adverse reactions and they stopped the shots. Now we're into the millions. I guess the numbers only become, or the numbers are just mere statistics when you're talking about millions, right? All right. And if you think this is all BS, this is page in the show notes, again, page C2, Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine linked to blood clotting. Yeah, okay. This is epic times. Now, I laughed out loud, L-O-I-L-O-L'd, okay, when I saw this posted on some social networks, and the response was, well, Epic Times, that reporter's not a doctor. Did you read the flipping article? The simple fact is this. Pfizer's COVID-19, as they put it, vaccine has been linked to blood clotting in older individuals, according to who? The friggin' FDA. In their own reports. Their own researchers. Crunching data from a database of elderly persons in the U.S. found that pulmonary emboli or embolism, blood clotting in the lungs, met the initial threshold for a statistical signal and continued meeting the criteria after a more in-depth evaluation. Okay, so if that's the case, why are they still pushing this? Why do they want little Johnny right after birth? And I'm sure if they could do it in the womb, they would, to get this slab jab. I don't think you need to be an investigator to really understand they want you dead, right? They don't want the burden of you sick. They want you dead. And they want your stuff. And they want to do it this way. And if this doesn't work, something else will. But this is how they're going about it right now. Well, you might say, look, you know what? You are so full of it, Hagman. Shut up. No, you shut up. No, you shut up. This I saw on social media. I got 6 shots and I'm fine. That's not this gentleman. But this gentleman answers that response. Yeah, you know, I got 6 shots. I'm walking around with 6 bags or 6 Band-Aids and my surgical mask with my N95 covered by my cloth mask. I'm drooling inside there. I can't breathe. But man, I'll tell you what, I didn't get sick. And I got my 6 shots, and I'm good to go because I can travel. I can go to, I can fly. I can go to other countries. I can take a vacation. Shut up. Seriously. Listen to this. This is video C2 in the show notes at Hagman, 2 N's on Hagman, HagmanReport.com. Here it is.
Creates a toxic spike protein in your body that can cause adverse reactions, including nervous system disorders, cancers, and worst of all, myocarditis that can lead to sudden death. So you might be thinking, those adverse reaction people are crazy. I got the shot, nothing bad happened to me. I'll give you 5 reasons why that is. First, you have no idea where the tip of that needle is when they push that plunger. If it's in a vein or a capillary bed, those particles will rapidly spread to your heart and to your brain, increasing your chances of neurologic and cardiac symptoms. Secondly, you have no idea how many particles are in that syringe. It could vary tenfold based on how it was prepared. And the more particles you get, the greater the chance of an adverse reaction. So maybe you just got lucky. Third, there is polyethylene glycol in the shot that keeps the particles from sticking together. If it degrades, and it does, you could get injected with coagulating goo that can cause a deadly stroke or a heart attack within minutes or hours. Fourth, the mRNA that's in the shot can degrade also, so it won't even make the spike protein at all, lessening your chance of an adverse reaction. Fifth, the more acidic your body is, the more spike proteins you will make, and that will increase the chance of an adverse reaction. So maybe you got lucky again, and your body, due to your diet or medications, was less acidic, and you made less spike proteins. But you can only be lucky for so long. The effects of this shot are cumulative. So my advice is to never, ever get one of these shots again. And if you did get one, get your D-dimer levels checked for microclotting and troponin checked for myocarditis. These problems can be asymptomatic and result in chronic disease or death in 2 to 5 years if you don't do something about it. Thank you.
All right. I thought that was rather well stated, because there are many people walking around, hey, I'm fine. I'm fine. And you know what? You might very well be fine. I don't know. I don't have my crystal ball. Actually, my crystal ball's in the shop with my Porsche. But you get the idea, right? Plus, there was an interesting statement made, an observation made, in the blue states. Have you heard this, where people are saying, well, you know what? The adverse reaction seems to be lower in the blue states. It's higher in the red states, but it's really not an adverse reaction in the red states. It's because they didn't get the jab in the first place. So that's why it's higher in the red states, not the adverse reaction, but the incidence of death and mortality rates. Yeah, okay. How about this answer, since we're grasping at straws? How about this straw? How about you guys in the blue states can't do crap right, including and especially elections, and you mishandled the vials of jab juice to the point where they became ineffective, their ingredients, to some total. Look, I don't know the answer to that question. I'm just saying, okay? If we're grasping at straws, give me the opportunity to grasp at that. All right. Now, here's where the intersectionality of all of this is. At least I believe, again, you just let me and my dog... You let me and my dog sit in my library with me smoking a cigar, with my dog next to me, drinking a cup of our coffee. Have you purchased our coffee? Hagman Coffee? Detective's Choice? Anyway. And think. Just sit there and think. And occasionally have a conversation with the dog. It's a dangerous place for me to be, because I think of things and I write them down and then I'll research them. But look, World War III is coming. When I say World War III, I'm talking about the West is pushing for World War III. That's all part of this too. Again, depopulation is part of this, and changing as well. In addition, the slab jabs changing us into non-humans, or contaminating God's DNA, God's creation. That's how evil this is. All right. About, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. You know what? To be honest with you, it was at least a half a dozen years ago. Randy Taylor's favorite. By the way, folks, please, please, please pray for Randy Taylor, okay? He is ill. That's why he has not been on this program. I see comments, which you may bring Randy back. It's, believe me, he's got an open invitation. But he's having a rough time of it, okay? So he's been very, very sick. So if you want to send him an email, randytaylor@hagmanreport.com, wish him well, please do so. But I'm certainly not keeping him from this broadcast. Again, at least a half a dozen years ago, Ted Lieu. The reason I mentioned Randy Taylor, because Ted Lieu, that's Ted, Randy Taylor's favorite is Ted Lieu. This Asian serving in Congress, right? He's talking about censorship. Now, let's go back in time. Let's have a little flashback, shall we? Because this, again, the intersectionality of all of what we're seeing exists in this censorship realm. What you're allowed to read, what you're allowed to listen to and see, hence the Patreon deplatforming. Hence all of the deplatforming we've seen on all of the social networking. It's job security for Eric, right? along with my stupid mistakes on mechanical devices or computer devices. But that said, let's listen to Ted Lieu. This is, I'm not sure I'm going to let it run as long. This is over 3 minutes long, but it's important to hear what he says and then understand what he's saying today and represents all of the left, all of the rhinos, the neocons, and the libtards are saying today. So here it is.
The top three elected officials, number one, Donald Trump, number two, Vice President Pence, number three, Speaker Ryan. The notion that social media is somehow censoring conservative folks is ridiculous. And three witnesses today have testified that that's not happening. And we don't do laws by anecdote, at least I hope I don't, and we shouldn't. But there's a more fundamental problem. The First Amendment applies to the government.
Pause that for a second. And if you don't mind, just go back about 5 seconds as I'm saying this. So what you just heard him say, he said social media, government, whatever, they're not censoring anything. We just heard three witnesses testify to that fact. Obviously testify under oath before the congressional committee. Why aren't their asses sitting in jail instead of the January 6th patriots, Ted? Go ahead and replay that or play that.
And we shouldn't, but there's a more fundamental problem. The First Amendment applies to the government. Can we just get that clear? It does not apply to restrict content of private companies. So let's just go through something very simple. And I'll ask you, Mrs. Oka, we don't tell Fox News what to filter, right?
Correct.
And we can't tell Facebook what content to filter. The government can't, right?
Correct.
That would just be flat out unconstitutional, right?
Yes, sir.
We can't force Facebook to carry Diamond and Silk if they choose not to. Isn't that right?
Correct.
You know, I've seen places that regulate content.
By the way, that guy to his left, your right, screen right, that's
Russia,
Adam Kinzinger.
Iran.
Pre-crime.
We don't want to be like that. Why are we having a hearing about regulating content? It's unconstitutional to begin with. But let's go a little further into this. Everyone has a right to monetize. So Facebook monetizes. You know how they do it? You know how I can get stuff out on Facebook and make sure lots of people see it? I pay for it. You pay for ads, and then they send it out. They don't care. The notion that somehow Facebook has to carry certain people and promote them is ridiculous. They do not have to do that. Twitter doesn't have to. These are private companies. They are not like UPS or FedEx. They are like publishers. They're like the media. And the fact that we're here debating should we regulate content on the internet is completely ridiculous. I don't know why the Republicans want to even think about doing this.
Okay, you can shut that off.
What makes America great?
You want to watch the whole clip, go to HagmanReport.com. So think about what he just said there. He was talking about the CDA, Communication Decency Act 230. Act 230 of the Communication Decency Act. All right. So he's saying, look, they can publish whatever they want to damn publish anyway. That's one thing he said, right? Boy, have you seen, Eric the Tech and folks out there, have you seen the absolute heads exploding when Elon Musk is doing just that? Oh, man. How dare you? Have you no shame? Oh, my goodness. So that's number one. These people, it's amazing to watch because when they do it, it's okay. When Musk does it or whoever does it, well, it's not okay. And I'm no fan of Elon Musk. Okay, so that was Ted Lieu half a dozen or so years ago. All right, now. The second thing of importance he said is the government. It would be unconstitutional for the government to instruct Facebook, Twitter, take something down, to tell them what could be said and what couldn't be said and so on. And that's the essence of the First Amendment. You don't tell people what they can and can't say in the town square. And that, by the way, is what got us deplatformed from, you know, that, in my view, that demonic piece of crap Patreon. And I'll tell you what, I answer to no one except my God. All right? So you want to deplatform me, go right ahead. Have at it. I've said it before. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, go for it. Because I'll tell you what, you strike us down, you better make damn well sure you kill us, because we're going to come back even stronger. There are a few people out there that know exactly what I'm talking about. All right. I'm going to show you this. This is a very lengthy segment with Steve Hilton, The Next Revolution with Steve Hilton. This was broadcast yesterday. I don't know how many people have seen this. If you've already seen this, I'm going to give you a little different take on it. If we can play it and pause it. And not only just pause it, but go to some documents as well. Because I want to introduce everyone to a federally backed censorship machine. Something called the EIP. It raises the separation of powers, election meddling, and so on. Raises questions about those. It's comprised of four, count them, four or more, depending on how you look at these subsets, organizations, and they are involved in telling you what to think, telling you what you can and can't say, and it is directly connected to the United States government. That's right. So everything Ted Lieu said there, if he believed it, he would be absolutely outraged right now, wherever he might be. All right, let's go to video clip one. This is from yesterday, Steve Hilton. Here it is.
Breaking tonight, part two of our special investigation into the security state's attack on America. We reveal the people behind the shadowy network set up by the Department of Homeland Security and used by the FBI and others to meddle in our elections and to silence and censor Americans. Joining us to discuss what action must now be taken, Ohio Congressman and incoming Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, along with Larry Elder and Alicia Krauss here with me in Los Angeles. Evening, everyone. Welcome to The Next Revolution. Tonight's investigation begins with this man, Alex Stamos, former head of cybersecurity at Yahoo, notorious for overseeing first the largest ever breach of a single company in history, where foreign actors hacked the personal details of over 500 million Yahoo users, and then, after joining Facebook as security chief, presiding over the Russia hack in 2016. After these serial fiascos, Stamos joined Stanford University as part of a group examining the role of security and technology in society, where he would, quote, continue to collaborate with Facebook. Around the same time, this man, Chris Krebs, was appointed director of the newly created Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, inside the Department of Homeland Security. Its stated mission was to protect America against cybersecurity threats from hostile foreign countries. But that mission was quickly corrupted. By the following year, this DHS report redefined foreign disinformation online as an attack on physical infrastructure, like voting machines and polling places. Then, when the Mueller probe into the Russia collusion hoax came up empty-handed, CISA's mission quietly shifted from countering foreign interference to focusing on domestic misinformation. So without any act of Congress or public debate, the security state, during the Trump administration, decided that any U.S. citizen posting anything the federal government considered misinformation was now carrying out a cyber attack against critical U.S. infrastructure. Here's Alex Stamos speaking at a DHS event.
Listen to this.
I think we talk way too much about foreign influence. I'm going to be honest. The truth is that the vast majority of these problems, of kind of the problems in our information environment, are domestic problems.
But the problem for the DHS...
Pause that for a second.
Was okay.
So under his watch, some of the biggest data breaches occurred, and he's out there flapping his gums about cybersecurity and about dis and misinformation. If you can just leave that right there, and if you don't mind, if you can go to, this would be page one of these show notes, announcing the EIP. Let me get there myself here, because I really you've got to really see this. You see, what they've done, when I say they, I'm talking about the deep state, is they created this conglomerate of entities known as the EIP, or the Election Integrity Partnership. This is back now, right around the time during Donald, well, this is during Donald Trump's tenure, and it was created right under his nose, or within the infrastructure by the deep state. The founding, or the foundational partnership, consists of four, count them, four institutions, and they are Stanford Internet Observatory Program, that's one, and Program on Democracy and the Internet, that's two, Graphica, that's three, more on that in a moment, and the Atlantic Council's Digital Forensic Research Lab, and the University of Washington's Center for Informed Public. Now, you can see where the Party of Davos in that group is represented, specifically and especially with the Atlantic, or with the Atlantic Council. Now, let's, if you don't mind, Eric the Tech, and I thank you for this, let's go back to Steve Hilton. And let's hear what he's got to say about this DHS meddling into our free speech, or what we thought was free speech, right? Here it is.
The government isn't legally allowed to censor American speech, whatever they call it, misinformation, disinformation. The First Amendment prevents the government from censoring it. So they created a workaround, a new public-private entity, the Election Integrity Partnership, EIP. Got to have a three-letter acronym. Here's Alex Stamos explaining it.
There was a lack of capability around election disinformation. This is not because CISA didn't care about disinformation, but at the time, they lacked both kind of the funding and the legal authorizations to go do the kinds of work that would be necessary. We were able to pull together pretty quickly a project between these four different institutions to try to fill the gap of the things that the government could not do themselves.
There you have it. Quote, CISA lacked the legal authorizations to do the kinds of work that would be necessary. So they outsourced the things the government could not do themselves to four institutions, which were Stanford University's Internet Observatory, Washington University's Center for an Informed Public, NATO's in-house think tank, the Atlantic Council and its Digital Forensics Research Lab, and a private social media analytics firm called Graphica, funded in part by the Defense Department, whose head of investigations is a guy called Ben Nimmo, who previously worked for NATO and Facebook, of course. This group, the EIP, was the proxy for the US government censorship of Americans. What you're looking at now is a screenshot that shows how DHS and EIP colluded with big tech to censor lawfully protected speech. Here's Alex Stamos again, laying it all out. And as Matt Taibbi revealed in this Friday's Twitter files, the EIP was a funnel for censorship actions from across the security state. But in a further shocking example of mission creep, the security state censorship by proxy operation expanded from its original focus on elections to include, you guessed it, COVID misinformation. To do this, the EIP rebranded itself into an entity called the Virality Project, or VP. Here's EIP's Renee D'Arresta.
We recognize the need to ramp back up, this time to support government health officials' efforts to combat misinformation targeting the COVID-19 vaccines, and thinking about what role government should play here. How could we constructively define misinformation, particularly in an environment like COVID?
What role should government play here? She pondered. I think we can guess. This new government censorship partner, VP, ended up censoring 66, quote, social media narratives on COVID during 2021. They censored reports of adverse reactions to the COVID vaccines, even getting Facebook to remove those accounts. They manipulated search results to make it harder to find information that questioned the vaccine. They got Pinterest to only show information from the CDC and the WHO because they got everything so right during the pandemic. The range of opinions censored as misinformation was stunningly broad. Claims that vaccines are, quote, not necessary or effective in combating the spread of COVID-19. That is true, but they censored it. Arguments against vaccine mandates and vaccine passports, totally valid, but they censored it. Even the suggestion that Big Pharma's profit motive and corrupt funding of politicians was behind the push for vaccinations. You may agree with that or disagree with it, but in America today, according to these totalitarian cyber fascists, you're not even allowed to say it. What is this? Who are these people arrogantly, imperiously deciding what you can say? Last week, we showed you how the security state has captured big tech with FBI, CIA, DNI operatives infiltrated at the highest levels of companies like Twitter and Facebook. And now we know the other way they're doing it, through this brazen and illegal proxy for their government censorship, the EIP. They can't deny they're doing it, just follow the money. The EIP has been directly funded through a series of federal grants, millions since the 2020 election. EIP member Graphica, also known as Octant Data, received nearly $3 million from the Department of Defense, followed by another $2 million in 2021. Another member, the Atlantic Council, $4 million since 2021, mostly from the State Department. The Stanford and University of Washington groups received a $3 million grant. And because this is the swamp, we see the corrupt revolving door in action. After being fired from the Department of Homeland Security, former CISA director Chris Krebs founded his own consulting firm with, guess who? Alex Stamos. Now the Krebs-Stamos groups uses Krebs's connections in government and Stamos's connections in the private sector to cash in on the growing demand for online censorship that they themselves helped create. And of course, the gullible establishment stooges in the media happily put this corrupt and menacing duo on TV nonstop as experts on misinformation.
All right. Pull that right there. Folks, watch that in its entirety. You will get the idea. I think we all get the idea. But the bottom line is this. Whether they're censoring about the COVID, the vaccines, what, have you heard what's going on in Brazil? Of course you haven't. Why not? Because the people of Brazil are fighting. They're taking it to the streets. Because of the fraudulent election of a communist to be placed in power. How much of the United States and the machines from the United States do you think played a role in that situation? You're not hearing anything about that. You're not hearing anything about what's going on in Peru. You're not hearing anything about the $100 billion of money that has gone to Ukraine and the lack of accountability of that money. You're not hearing about that. Why not? That's the reason. So again, getting back to the initial part of this with my opening statement, why'd you have to nuke the whole building, Hans? Well, when you steal 600, you could, you know, get away, disappear, whatever. But, you know, 600 billion, they're going to be coming looking for you. And again, I say that because we are coming. All right. to show you how far back this goes, and I know I mentioned this back in October. This is page 4 in the show notes. Election Integrity Partnership worked with feds to censor news sites in 2020. Folks, Breitbart reported on this. All you have to do, not you, the listener, the viewer, but all people have to do, really, is very simply read, look, research for themselves. Okay, memes are fine. But you know, saying, well, that's a lie. You can't prove that. Source, show me the source. They're out there. You just have to find them. All right. I wanted to get into some World War III news. The United States is mulling more troops inside Ukraine to track arms as leaked cable admits impossible task. This from Zero Hedge. This is page 7 in the show notes. Simply put, we're giving them arms, small arms, and other things. Now, hey, we got to send troops in there to kind of track to see where these arms are going. Oh, really? You didn't know that beforehand. Does Cambodia spring to mind for those boomers out there? And it's interesting because 70%, and this was a mini documentary, 70% of Western aid for Ukraine fell into this black hole of corruption and never made it to the front lines. Again, you can check out at Hagman Report the video. That's video 3. And then, of course, this I found extremely interesting. And if we could play video 4 under, this is the last video I want to play. I want you to think about this. I'm going to just play a minute of this or so. This is Tucker Carlson talking with someone who just got back from Moscow, talking about the sanctions. Go ahead and play this. Okay. All right. And again, we'll play a minute of this. And I want, really, you need to watch the entire thing. Go to HagmanReport.com and watch the entire video. Here it is.
That's what we're doing here. And that's why we're grateful that Jeremy Lofredo actually went to find out what was happening. He's with Rebel News. He joins us tonight. Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on. I'm certain you will be attacked as a tool of Putin. But let's ignore that and get to what you saw there. It looked from the grocery store that sanctions are not hurting Moscow too badly.
Yeah, I was on my way to Russia and I saw the New York Times said that there's Soviet era shortages. The Washington Post said something along the lines of that there's essential goods scarcity. Foreign Policy, they put out a report that said that the economy in Russia is in a black hole that's, you know, of proportion that's never been seen before. And so, you know, I was a little nervous going there. And, you know, I went to rural areas outside of Moscow and I went to grocery stores like you just saw. And, you know, things were cheap and, you know, they had more things than, you know, the Whole Foods here in New York City. And, you know, what is the goal? What is the goal of these sanctions? The goal is obviously to cause unrest, shortages, make people unhappy with the government. Hopefully people will take to the streets. And at the end of the day, we want regime change in Russia. Right. We want a different government.
All right. You can pause or stop that. Watch the entire clip. It's very interesting. It's only another minute or so. But the bottom line is this. The sanctions, it's all a head fake. This is all an illusion. And going back to the way I started, hey, Hans, why'd you have to nuke the whole building? Well, I don't want them to find out what we did. That's exactly where we're at. So are we winning? If the sanctions aren't working, and look at everything that's out there, are we winning? Yeah, maybe. Maybe this is all an illusion. Now, if you're running out of Christmas ideas, if you've got a young man at home, I want you to just make sure you understand Christmas lasts a lifetime when it's a Remington 22. This is an actual advertisement for Christmas back, I think it was the early 60s. And here it is right here on your screen, if Eric can get it up. And there it is right there. And hey, how would you like to have for your young son a Remington 22 caliber rifle? That's right. Just throwing some Christmas ideas out there for you. responsible gun ownership, responsible, train them early. Folks, I hope this made sense. If it did, please do me a favor, put this up on your social media and tell others about this show. May God bless you. May God bless the United States. Good night.